Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Samantha Simmons.
Georgia, ride me up and all in my arms, let me hold ya. I'll never let you go again like I did or used to say. I would never fall in love again until I found her. I said I would never fall unless it's you I fall into. I was lost within the darkness, but then I found her. I found you.
While Stephen Sanchez may only be 21 years old, his music will bring you back decades. Releasing his debut EP, What Was Not Now, in late 2021, Sanchez has climbed the charts, reaching number 23 on the Billboard Hot 100 for his single, Until I Found You. And he's playing at Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts this Sunday. Stephen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, you have like an old-timey 50s sound. What really inspired you to choose this style, or did it choose you?
Honestly, it was something I just grew up with for so many years that it just kind of was always there. Which was really exciting, because when it came to actually making a record, you know, Until I Found You was kind of an accident. You know, it was an innocent attempt at trying to recreate a 1950s sounding love song in, you know, in the modern day of music. And then upon realizing that was even possible to do and to do well, you know, obviously the song is done tremendously well, when it came to making a record, then it just felt like something very intrinsic to me to be able to actually do it, because I just grew up listening to that music for so long. It almost felt like I've been studying it without actually attempting to study it or anything like that.
You're not the only one leaning into the styles of the 50s. Your fans are too. From posts I've seen on social media and videos that I've seen, crowds are coming dressed in this like greaser attire, and it's not your typical concert attire for this day and age. What's it like seeing fans dressed up of all ages dressed up in this different style?
Yeah, it was definitely something we pushed for. You know, we wanted to make people as much as, you know, as much investment as they had in the record. We wanted them to feel the same way towards the shows, and we wanted them to feel like they were a part of the 50s and 60s story. And the way to do that is to get them to dress up as such. And that was something that was really exciting to get to see. And, yes, so promoting that socially, which, gosh, I mean, everybody has access to the internet and everyone has access to so much information online. It's been amazing to see fans actually dress up and do it, you know.
You've clearly seen a lot of different kinds of outfits on tour so far. Do you have any favorite fits that you've seen or different pieces that people have put together?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are fans that are making their clothes. There are fans that are literally, you know, coming in, you know, telling me that they've spent 2 months working on this outfit before the shows. And it's just amazing. It's so, so amazing. There was this girl in, oh, my gosh, in Oakland who made her outfit, and she spent 2.5 months working on it, and she stitched and embroidered and, you know, put studs in the dress, and it was beautiful. It was so beautiful.
So I first heard your music on TikTok a couple of years ago now. Do you think being an up-and-coming artist in the digital age has helped you or hurt you? What are your views on that?
I mean, gosh, yeah, I think the evidence is definitely in the fruit is in the evidence of everything. You know, it has been a tremendous help. You know, social media is a way to connect yourself to the world. Also a way to take yourself out of it in a weird way. Yeah, I mean, I think there's been nothing but really positive things that have come from it. And it continues to be a positive thing as far as the career goes, which is really exciting. And yeah, I'm really grateful for it. It's been great.
Can you explain a little bit what it was like going through and making Angel Face?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we when it came down to, you know, creating a 50s and 60s record, songs such as Until I Found You and Evangeline had already existed, and so it was really just kind of figuring out, well, where does this go apart from these songs? And now we have these two different, you know, time periods. You know, Evangeline's in 1964 and Until I Found You's in 1958 sound. And so we categorized these different sounds in those time zones. And I think it made the execution of actually writing certain songs for the record a lot easier, because it felt like, oh, what kind of sounds were happening in 1958? Oh, the big, you know, rockabilly, you know, rock and roll is just on the up and come, and you know, and then in 1964 it was kind of the soul Motown feel, you know, and so, yeah, executing that became a lot easier when we started to kind of set up a stage for those songs to exist.
So clearly, there's a lot of research that goes into this. Was that something you expected when you were on your way to making this album and other singles you've released?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I just listened to a lot of music that I love. And I think when it came down to doing it, I already knew so much about these songs and this genre that it was just, I mean, it's kind of a bummer that it wasn't such a feat, because it makes for a better story, but it was really something that felt so intrinsic and that it was always there and it was just kind of waiting to come out and present itself in the form of this record. And that's really exciting too, because it kind of feels like otherworldly, like it existed before me and like it's existing again for the first time, which is very cool. And yeah, and we wrote Be More, you know, the first song for this record. It set the stage and the standard for the songwriting and the heart behind the record, and I think that also helped, was kind of getting that first one out of the way.
Oh, just to know you, tell me you see.
What do you hear from older generations who are hearing this music and it's like what they were listening to when they were younger?
I mean, it's amazing. They're coming to shows and they're excited, and I'm watching grandmas at the Nashville show, you know, crying and, you know, reaching their hands out. And then I'm watching, you know, right next to that grandma, a 20-year-old girl or a 15-year-old girl, like screaming and crying. And it's just, It's a wild feeling. It's very wild, especially seeing it connect with folks from such a different walks of life, you know, and different ages. It's really amazing.
Your song Shake, it's really so energetic, and I really hope that that's like an opener at some point, because that's just like the perfect thing to kind of kick the show off the ground. What's it like performing that live?
It's exhausting. I love that song so much, but holy cow, it feels like this show is very physically demanding, this one, and that makes it more exciting, it makes it more challenging, and I love that, but gosh, is it so hard to like keep my breath, you know, in playing that one. But I love it. It's so fun, and it's been fun with every song, even outside of Shake, to like experiment different moves and, you know, ways of singing it. But that one is a favorite for sure. It's been really nice.
The next song on that album is High, which is really different from Shake. I'm gonna get you so high. It's gonna send you. Why put it in an order where it kind of, it doesn't feel out of order, but it's just so different than the song before it?
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to kind of make it feel like, you know, all of these songs connect into a story, of course, but, you know, as individuals, we wanted it to feel like these songs were standing up on their own 2 feet and they weren't being washed out by another or, you know, mixing with another. And so it felt like it's a very diverse record sonically, and I think that's exciting as well, and I just think it makes it more interesting, really.
Most of your songs kind of have that fantasy of like growing old with somebody, like you want somebody to grow old with. Is that intended? Is that something you try to do? If so, where did the inspiration for that kind of feel for your listeners come from?
I think it just kind of happens that way. I don't know that it's something I'm trying for. I think that it's just, I think these are really heartfelt love songs. I think naturally it it feels like you want to just, you know, you want to associate, you know, getting old with somebody, you know, with a song that's about love and this selfless pursuit of somebody. And so I think just naturally it kind of will always ever come across that way. I mean, I feel that even in music apart from mine, you know, if it's a love song, I always imagine, you know, listening to it with someone I love, slow dancing along and, you know, that being something. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're always trying to bring people into a feeling for sure. And if that translates into, you know, making people reminisce about growing old together, that's nice.
This is your second headline tour. Any surprises along the way? What makes it different than your first tour? And really just how's it been going?
Lots of shaking and screaming people, crying. It's a totally different ballpark this tour. You know, the first one was we were figuring out how to do it, and we weren't very present because we were all trying to survive out on the road. But this time it feels like we're all very present. And I think with that presence, you know, there's a lot of seeing crazy stuff, like fans crying and screaming and people throwing things. And it's just a wild thing. It really is. I mean, it's a tremendously wild thing.
You noted earlier that some of your songs kind of step into different decades throughout your discography. But how do you feel about kind of carrying this style on as you progress in your career? Is this something you want to change or stick with, or you're not really sure yet?
I don't know. I'm enjoying this record so much right now. And I think that, you know, at some point inspirations will lead wherever they will. But for now, I do enjoy the sound, but I think more than anything, I'm going to definitely continue the storytelling of records and making records that tell stories and, you know, have characters, because I love that so much. So if that's in a 60s sound, great. If it's not, I think that's cool too.
And finally, you have over 23 million monthly listeners on Spotify. That is a big feat. And you have a European tour coming up in the new year. What's it like knowing that your fan base extends worldwide?
It's pretty ridiculous. It's a very surreal feeling. It feels very out of body. It's something that I'm very grateful for. Yeah, I don't really know more to say about it. It's a surreal feeling to have so many people love this record, love these songs, and want to come to these shows. And it's been wonderful.
Steven Sanchez is playing this Sunday, December 3rd at 8 p.m. at Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Once again, Steven Sanchez is playing this Sunday at Mass Mocha. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.